This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin, talking with Ann Schmidt from the Peoria Riverfront Museum about their upcoming exhibit, Dinosaurs in Motion. It opens next week on July 11th. Ann, it's good to see you again.
It's always good to see you, Nathan.
And we were talking about this on the phone before the interview, and you made a point of clarifying that these are not actual dinosaurs at the Riverfront Museum.
No, they are not actual dinosaurs, nor are they fossils of dinosaurs, but rather they are artworks. They are sculptural dinosaurs that are life size. And when we say that they are in motion insofar as the visitors can interact with them and put them in motion using simple machines.
Well, let's talk about this a little bit. So you've got these life-sized sculptures of dinosaurs, and I guess some of the mechanics of the sculptures are exposed so that as the sculptures move, you can kind of see the physics of how a dinosaur might move its leg or its head. Is that the idea here?
Yes, it's a very ingenious blend of art and science. The science part comes from, as you mentioned, how dinosaurs may have moved. The artist really had to consider the balance of the creatures as they did live. So where was their center of gravity? And I think most of us have followed along as the science's understanding of how these dinosaurs moved has changed as the body of evidence has grown. So if you look at the early dioramas or paintings of dinosaurs, like if you go to old school museum and you see a picture of T-Rex, it's like standing up like a kangaroo.
Mm-hmm.
But then scientists came to realize that probably the tail was held out parallel to the ground as sort of a counterweight to the massive weight of its skull. And the sculptor, the artist who created these dinosaurs, John Payne, took that into account. So his T-Rex is much more flat, like you would see in more modern conceptions of dinosaurs. But the other science part of it is that they are moved through the use of simple machines. So any grade school or middle school kid here in town could tell you what simple machines are, pulleys and wheels and gears and levers. So that the visitors get to use levers and wheels and gears and pulleys to make these dinosaurs move.
And you've got a series of these. So what is it, a dozen or 15 of them or so? Or
I think there's 13 of them. And it's hard to count when they're all moving around. Well, they're not moving that much, I jest.
And I assume you've got a different species of dinosaur represented. So a T-Rex and, I don't know, a brontosaur.
Yes, well, we have them across the three different periods that fell in the Mesozoic era. So there are some from the earliest period and all the way through the Cretaceous period. So the first ones you'll see are actually the latest dinosaurs, chronologically speaking. You'll see Triceratops and T-Rex as you enter the gallery. And of course, those were alive at the time of the KT extinction, right before the dinosaurs became extinct. Then you'll see some other older dinosaurs. And actually in the lobby, you'll see Diplodocus, because it's too big to fit in the gallery with the rest of the dinosaurs. Not a full-size Diplodocus, but rather a juvenile. This is a long-necked sauropod, so relative to brontosaurus, very large.
So do the different sculptures teach us different facets of a dinosaur's biology? You know, is there one that teaches us more about the head and neck and the chewing process? Is there one that teaches us more about the legs and mobility?
Well, yes, different dinosaurs have different points of interest. So this exhibit will, of course, make use of that in the didactic panels to teach about cool aspects of dinosaur biology. These were originally intended as artworks. They were created by John Payne, who died in 2008. And then Imagine Exhibits, they have turned this into a traveling exhibit. So they have added the educational panels and some interactive stations so that visitors can experiment with simple machines, with balance, with finding the center of gravity of a large thing, and just fleshed it out as a great family experience that's fun and educational.
Now, you said there were 13 of these, and they are life-size, so they must be pretty enormous. How long did he work on these to build them all?
This was a project that took him many years, and I can't say off the top of my head how long, but I know that he started when I think he was in a junkyard and saw a piece of a car or something that inspired him to think dinosaur, dinosaur rib cage, or that must be a femur of a dinosaur, but then began to see the possibilities and discarded objects and welded them together. So there's information that tells what part of a car or a discarded metal thing these dinosaurs were made out of. And there are more than just dinosaurs. There are also whooping cranes and American crows, which are actually really cool. And those are larger than life size, because an American crow sculpture life size would be a little underwhelming, perhaps. They're really cool. As you go through the exhibit, the level of interactivity and movement in the sculptures increases. So the first ones you see, the T-Rex and the Triceratops, are not really very stationary, like maybe some tail movement or jaw movement. Then as you go through and you come to the very end, then you can manipulate the dinosaurs with Xbox controllers and the different points of movement within the structure increase dramatically.
And so as patrons, what do we learn by manipulating these dinosaurs? Is it the mechanics of bodies in motion, physics, biology? What are the lessons that we get to take away once we actually get our hands on the machines that control these things?
A little bit of all of the things that you said, that there'll definitely be physics and kinetics. If you push something in one direction, is it going to come back on its own? That kind of thing. Art, manufacturing. There are so many different takeaways on an educational level, and then just on a fun level, but really life lessons that you can learn for things you can apply. How could I make this work in my own project?
So among the other attractions that you're featuring as part of the exhibit, you also worked with an artist in residence to create a dinosaur that she's been working on for several weeks, and now it's on display outside the museum?
That's right. In the month of June, in order to get ready for Dinosaurs in Motion, we used that gallery as a makerspace, and visitors could make their own dinosaurs, or they could help Kate Kaminsky, a local sculptor from Washington, Illinois, build a Triceratops, and then everybody helped to paint it. So it looks like a community project. It looks really cool, and you can see it now on the front plaza of the museum. That's the Washington Street side on the Dave Ransburg Family Plaza.
And I would imagine that transporting a sculpture this size out of the museum and into the plaza, that must have required a little logistical work, because it's not small, is what I'm saying.
No, it's not. It's not a small Triceratops. It's Triceratops, even the babies, I think, were pretty big. So it really is a dinosaur in motion, or it really was when we were moving it, which was quite a challenge. So the artist built it with certain dimensions in mind. The first being the size of the doors that leave the museum and go onto the plaza. The second being the size of its feet, because you have to lift up all 4 feet at the same time to move it, because we didn't put it on a pallet to begin with. So she planned it so that all of the feet would fit in these really clever little dollies that our exhibit designers use to move the temporary walls around. So it's built the same width as a temporary wall, the feet are.
Now, I know that the exhibit is appropriate for all ages, but I assume it's going to have a particular appeal for children. It seems like every 8 to 11-year-old has this fascination with dinosaurs. Do you have any insight into what that dynamic is all about? Why are kids into dinosaurs so much?
I don't know. They have fascinated people since they were first discovered. And we have some really cool little glimpses into the past history of dinosaur research hanging up in the museum. If you go down to the dispersed exhibit case, so one of those little exhibit cases along the hallway on the way to the planetarium, you'll see a massive print, massive, about 5 feet high and 3 feet wide, from a book published by Marsh. And these two gentlemen, Cope and Marsh, started the dinosaur wars in the late 1800s. Now, the word dinosaur had only been coined a couple decades previous to this, and the two of them were in a heated competition to discover as many species as possible, and it captured the public's imagination, and they became rock stars in the world of science. And actually, their competition with one another actually ruined one another financially as well. They both died penniless, but their legend continues, and we have this print of a single vertebra from a brontosaurus hanging in the fossil case with some other fossils, vertebrae fossils from dinosaurs. So it's really a cool glimpse into how long our fascination with dinosaurs has continued. Now, did you have little dinosaurs when you were a kid?
I did not, no.
What? I find that hard to believe. Do you have them now?
No, I do not.
I will bring you some, Nathan, because you need to have your second childhood and become enamored of dinosaurs like all kids are today.
Well, and finally, is it coincidental that this exhibit is coming to the Riverfront Museum at the moment that there is a major blockbuster Hollywood movie about dinosaurs in the theaters? Or is that just a happy accident? Because I know that you have to plan these exhibits in advance.
That is not a happy accident, but it is a happy thing. Our theater curator always knows what's coming up in the world of Hollywood. And this is something we consider in both directions, both when picking exhibits, but more often when picking films, we think of what we will have in the gallery.
We've been talking with Ann Schmidt about the exhibit, Dinosaurs in Motion. It begins July 11th at the Peoria Riverfront Museum. Ann, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Nathan.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio by going to our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.